Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. Welcome, welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, I've been looking forward to this whole week because on this show, all week long, we're focusing on breakthrough. And if you've been listening to Faith Radio all month long, we've been focusing on forgiveness. Well, today is the day of forgiveness. And my guest today would say, forgiveness is the secret key to powerful prayer. And we're going to unpack that in a little bit. We're praying for many breakthroughs in your life, that the captive would be set free, that the lost would be found. If you've been held captive by holding a grudge or unforgiveness, or even by fear or self-contempt, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to break free. Before I move another step, I want to ask you, because you know this, if you listen, I'm always asking for just honest answers because I'm pretty honest. I often go first. Here's my question. What do you need to forgive? You don't even have to tell me who you need to forgive if you don't want to. But what offense is still hanging around in your soul that you find yourself rehearsing? What do you need to forgive? I'll consider every text anonymous. I won't mention any names. I just want to get a sense. First of all, I want you to know you're not alone, but also just get a sense for where you're at in this particular season of life. If there's something that kind of keeps coming up for you again and again, you can text me at 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Well, again, many of you have been following my journey. And in January and February, I was in a pretty rough place physically and thus emotionally because I was so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was super discouraged, lots of symptoms, and I just felt stuck. And little did I know that God was preparing to ambush me in the Lenten season. In part with the gals that are in studio today, I call them my Marvel superhero women. They are all individual superheroes. One of them is here to intercede, and the other two will get on the mic in just a moment. One of them you know because she joined us on a previous show, Melissa Coleman, and we talked about mercy prayer. So she'll give us a little update and synopsis in case you missed that show, but I strongly encourage you to go back and listen. So I'll give them a proper announcement in just a moment, but I'm asking you, especially if you're in a good season of life, will you lean in with us? Because as a staff, we are praying that truly the captive would be set free. That, you know, I will tell you just quite honestly, in January, February, I had to start my next book and I literally thought, I can't do it. I don't have it in me. What if I give the contract back? I can't believe I'm saying that publicly, but my husband is large and he stands in the path. You're not giving the contract back. But once I had ministry with these women, I remember I explained to you, it felt like this soot, like ashes from my flames and from the hard, hard time just left my body. And it was like flipping a switch. I was renewed. I was overjoyed. And I'm almost done with that book. It was just a miracle. One of the many miracles that have come out of time praying with these women. So today we're going to talk about the hidden key to powerful prayer, forgiveness. We're going to talk about agreeing, powerful, purposeful prayer. And then we're going to pray for you. And so don't wait a minute. If you want so much prayer, just go ahead and text it in and don't be afraid to copy and paste. Sometimes those texts come in like a ticker tape parade. There's lots of resources on our website on forgiveness. You can check those out at myfaithradio.com. Karna Ching, who's going to remain silent and she's going to be interceding, but she's the one who connected me with these women. She's why I trusted these women so much. She's been a dear friend for a long time. Her mom's been a mentor for many years. Her husband is one of my doctors. These are two of the most godly, humble servant people you ever want to meet. I think Jimmy, her husband, is brilliant. He thinks his wife is brilliant. I can't tell you how many times he has said, oh, Karna knows more about this than I do, so you should ask her about it. I love her. Esther Kim, one of the most fiery praying women I have ever met. She's little, but she packs a punch. And she and her hubby were missionaries in Kenya for a couple of years. She ignited several prayer movements there. Her husband's a neurosurgeon. He operates on brains and spines. Well, I see Esther as a spiritual neurosurgeon. She prays with precision and power, and things change when this woman prays. Melissa Coleman, as you know, she's been on the show in the past. She makes up of this group, what I call Marvel Women. She is a superhero. She's a lawyer. She's an advocate, a teacher, and also another one of the most purposeful, prophetic praying women I have ever met. So this is the one time I'll have you guys talk at the same time. Welcome.
Hello.
Yay. You can talk. You can talk. Good to have you with us. And I see some texts coming in. I want to know, what do you have to forgive? And again, everybody will be anonymous. And maybe to help me, because texts are coming in, if it's a prayer request, put that up front. Put prayer request so I can differentiate. But we're going to start with what we do every day, making it personal. I want to know what the Lord has been speaking to you about these days. And Esther, you said you're going to speak on behalf of the Marvel women. What do you say?
Yes, yes. Well, it's such an honor to be here, first of all. So thank you, Susie, for this opportunity. I've been wanting to speak about this for 13 plus years. And this is what God has been speaking up to me about all these years together with other women. And that that the prayer together is the most powerful way we can stand together against the fierce attacks of the impossible battles that confront us in our journey of faith. And it is prayer together that led us to meet you during one of our miracle seasons. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
And what you don't know about Esther is, I think it's been 7 years, she fasts, does a, like almost a 50-day partial fast.
52 days.
52 days. Yeah, I stand corrected. Mm-hmm. Prior to Advent and Lent, and prays for Christmas miracles and Easter miracles. And you've gotten them, haven't you? God has moved.
Every season. There has not been a season that there wasn't a breakthrough or a miracle or some kind of crazy happening.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then she came into the Lenten season this year and said, Lord, it's been 7 years. You must have an important assignment.
Yes.
Guess who was one of her assignments? Hello. And these women have, God has used them to change my life. And I was a passionate prayer before, but it's hard to find people who want to pray wildly, and you women, I've met my match with you. And what God is doing as we gather together every week and focus on prayers for our kids, for our husbands, for my health, it is absolutely amazing. So thank you for your tenacity. And in parents, she looks as sweet as the day is long, but this woman is fire. And then this other firepower woman, Melissa, you're fierce. I just love you. So good to have you. And let's talk for just a moment about forgiveness being the hidden key. And for those who missed the past show that you're on, you must go listen to it some other time, but give us a little synopsis of, as a lawyer, understanding the judicial nature of God and the power of mercy and the power of forgiveness.
Okay. Well, I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is to understand that every sin, every offense against us is a debt. It creates a debt. When we maintain our rights to that debt, we actually give access to the enemy to continue to kind of torment us with hurts and with painful memories, with anger, with fear, with insecurity, with all of those things that we don't want in our lives. The Lord had kind of been speaking to me about the difference between mercy and forgiveness, because I've talked about applying mercy to pay for those debts. And he sort of solidified this in my mind for me. And so what I would say is, you know, when we get saved, we get all of these, all of this mercy, let's say like mercy bucks in our bank account, right? But as debts are created because of people's sins against us, when there's debts out there, it doesn't matter how much money is in our bank account. If we don't write the check and send it in, if the credit card company sends a bill, if the utility company sends a bill, if there's debts out there, it doesn't matter how much money is in our bank account if we don't write the check and send it in. Hmm. So this process is really a process for applying, taking those mercy dollars that are in our bank account, writing the check, and using it to pay for those debts that are owed to us or that we owe because of our sins, and wiping out the ability of the enemy to use that to as legal access to continue to torment us.
What's so powerful about this is, you know, when I had you on the first time, I was super honest about this. Some of the trauma that happened at the hands of teenage boys, I counseled through, I prayed for them, I forgave them. So when we gathered together for you to pray for my healing, I was so surprised that you did this teaching. And as you're teaching, at first I didn't know where it was going until you guys walked me through and you gave me a tablet that said attorney-client privilege. And you asked me to name the crimes. And you said, you know, if you can't name the crime, if you don't identify it, there really isn't a full mercy release. And you're like, did they punch you? Yes, they did. Write it down. Did they pull your hair out? Yes, write it down. Talk about the importance of naming the crime, so to speak, to get a full release. Because again, if you would have asked me, I would think, oh, that, you know, I've totally prayed through that many times. But something about releasing mercy and pulling the enemy's hooks out of me and out of them was a spiritual, supernatural transaction.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between our ability to forgive, which is comes from our humanness, and applying mercy. There's a difference. I realized, Susie, if I'm just being really honest, that even though the Lord showed me the reality of the parable of the unforgiving servant, that if I don't extend mercy to those who have offended me, hurt me, wounded me, that that the Lord won't forgive me of my sins. That is such a grave consequence. And even though I was totally aware of that in principle, I just had to be really honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not good enough of a person to forgive all of some of these really big debts that are owed to me because they cut my humanity deep. And I try to forgive them. I say I forgive them. I really do try, but if I'm really, really being honest, there's some residue there. And so the Lord was really showing me, I can apply Jesus's mercy to pay for that debt. Then my soul catches up because the enemy doesn't have access to me anymore to continue to remind me of those painful hurts and memories. And once I do that transaction where I literally write the check of Jesus's mercy to pay for that debt, then I cut off the enemy's ability to access me, to remind me of all of those hurts. And in that way, then my soul can catch up and I can truly forgive completely from my heart. Without that, I just can't. There's some things that I can't completely forgive on my own.
Yeah, I don't remember who said it first. It's something about you can't stand with their list in your hand and your list on the cross. And, you know, one of the things you'd said is in the Constitution, we have a right. The accused has the right to a speedy trial. And how much more for the believer do we have to, you know, ignite a speedy trial against those that we're offended by? And before we go to break, I want so much for you just to give a quick example of, let's say you've got a tablet like that and you name the crimes. And for the record, we're going to do a live stream after this show. So if you're on social media, on YouTube or Facebook Live, Melissa and I are going to talk a little bit more in depth about this process. But just for the sake of time, because we have so much to cover here, give an example if you're bringing someone into the heavenly court, because God is a just God. And you're not physically bringing them into the court. They may not even know about this prayer, but you're trying to release mercy to them. What might that prayer and transaction look like?
Yeah, so just very similar to the earthly courts, you know, a defendant can't be acquitted or convicted of a crime that they have not been properly charged with. So it is really important to name the charges and for those charges to be accurate. And the enemy loves to make, you know, bring things, confusion and all of emotions. But when we really write it down, it usually boils down to just a few things that they have done. When we write those charges down, we declare that they are charged with those things and that they are guilty and deserving of punishment. But because Jesus chose to extend mercy to me for a debt I could never repay, I'm choosing to extend the same mercy to pay for their debts against us. And by doing that, we literally extract the enemy's hooks from them and break the power of condemnation and accusation off of them. But we're also extracting the enemy's hooks from us. So he doesn't get to torment us anymore.
So good. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to keep that in mind and then talk about the power of united agreeing prayer.
Yes.
There's something, you know, when two or more are gathered, there's something miraculous and powerful about people coming together. These women started to pray with me every Wednesday morning for my healing, and it really has evolved into us praying for our husbands and all kinds of things. But we can testify each week to sprouts that have sprung up, big miracles, little movements, but things are happening because we're praying in agreement, in accord with God's word, and together believing God. He's a miracle working God. And I said 2 years ago, it is time to form a prayer network, an underground kind of prayer network in the church. I believe it more today than ever before. So again, we're going to pray for you in just a little bit. What do you need to forgive? This dear listener says, wife of 25 years, betrayal and unfaithfulness and then divorce. That is so painful. Lord Jesus, bless you and heal you. More with the Marvel Women in just a moment.
Count it more. All praise to the one who has reigned.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. This is a special day on Faith Radio. It's the day of forgiveness. We've been praying for your breakthrough. In fact, all week on this show, it's a breakthrough week. We're purposely choosing guests that will speak to breakthrough on different levels. And by the way, my guests today, I call them the Marvel women. They're like super spirit, and they're superhero spiritual women. And these are the women who marched with me into this healing process that literally has changed my life. And one of them is Melissa Coleman, who's been on before. She's a lawyer that talks about the mercy trials in the heavenly courts. We had a huge response to that show, and my producer just let me know that she's got the link to that previous episode in today's show. So in today's show's posts, you'll see the link there. And for those of you on social media, right after the show, we need a few minutes to get down to the studio, but we'll go live on YouTube and Facebook, and I'll interview Melissa on a little bit deeper level. Esther Kim is going to be talking here in just a moment, and Karna Ching, my dear friend, is interceding in studio. But talk, if you would, Esther. You know, I think of all the prayer movements. I mean, I don't even know how many prayer groups you're in even right now, but how, one of the things you said that struck me so much is you said when you started praying in accord with other believers, you worried so much less. Your confidence in God skyrocketed, and you could really, once you prayed, you could walk away and leave it and do your life because you just learned to trust God more. So how did that all start?
Yes. Well, can I go back to the first prayer that I pray that changed everything?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was when I was 19, and I was just struggling with a lot of trauma from the past and a lot of pain, unresolved pain, and probably unforgiveness was a lot of that as well. And I just prayed. I needed to know if there was a real God, God was real. Otherwise, there was no purpose in living. So I just prayed a very simple prayer. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. And I will worship you for the rest of my life.
Mm.
And immediately this picture, this vision of Jesus on the cross came to my mind. And I just knew instantly this is a true God because I did not know who was a real God. And I just thought if there was a real God, he would reveal himself to me. I opened my Bible and just start speaking to me in ways that he hasn't in the past.
Mm.
So that was a powerful moment of turning to Jesus Christ for my salvation. And then the second prayer I prayed some years after that is, God, if you, what do you want me to do with my life? And fasted and prayed for 3 days. And second day, just during that time, God just spoke to me very clearly. He wanted me to go into ministry through medical mission.
Hmm.
Yes. And that's, long story short, that led me to go to medical school where I met my husband, who took us on a 2 years of amazing medical mission that transformed our life. Well, the third most important prayer I prayed, this was right before turning age 40, is I just felt like I was stuck in the wilderness like the Israelites. I just said a simple prayer, God, whatever it takes, take me out of this wilderness. Teach me how to live victoriously as Joshua has done. On my 40th birthday, God sent me his answer, and it was a prayer partner.
Hmm.
Her name is Cindy Eckles-Dafer, and I didn't really know her well then. And she lived in Virginia. I lived in another state, and we just connected over the phone. And what was amazing is she was someone who was available to battle with me for every trial, every battle. And just as I experienced the victory that came from power of prayer together, I could invite others in.
Hmm.
That's been my journey for the past 13 years.
Yeah. And you have, what a track record, the different groups you've prayed with and the miracles you've seen. And then friends, you know, she's got this heart to see holidays redeemed. Maybe you had a bad birthday or a bad Father's Day or a bad Christmas. You know, I had some tough winter holidays just because that's when I struggled often. And the idea of going, Lord, you know, I think this matters to you, and I'm going to fast leading up to this holiday and asking God, redeem it. And you've seen it over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And Melissa, I want to just read some of these. I asked friends to text in, what do you need to forgive? And I'm keeping everybody anonymous, but 877-933-2484. This is the day of forgiveness. This is a day, really believe, you're going to break free. If you trust God, you can break free today. And after this next break, we're going to start praying for folks. But I want you just to speak to the process of all of these. These are not trivial offenses. I need to forgive my sister who's instilled hurt on her parents for more than 50 years, blaming them for her alcoholism and all her troubles in her life. Since I've truly forgiven my husband for his unfaithfulness, when confronted, he admitted his choices. What I struggle with is in the past 7 years since, He's content with just sweeping it under the rug and moving on. That's so painful. God has provided amazing healing in my personal life. I see, though, how our relationship continues to be affected by this. I keep submitting to God for his work in me and trusting him to God's time frame. I've so appreciated the recent programs about further, deeper healing. I have to forgive the ones who perpetuated my abortion, including myself, a former friend who struggles with unforgiveness toward me. No matter what I say, it's never enough. She continues to bring the same things up. I don't even remember those things. At this point, she scares me. I need to forgive my cousin for his sexual abuse. Let's see here. I need to forgive a wife of 25 years for betrayal and unfaithfulness and divorce. These are very painful things. Yeah. Well, anything you want to say?
Mercy will pay for all of those sins. And the Lord has a way to bring freedom to you. It's enough. Mercy that was purchased for us by the blood of Jesus is enough. So there's hope. There's hope that you can be completely free from being in any partnership with the enemy who loves to torment and use us to accuse others. They don't have to acknowledge their offenses or ask for forgiveness. This is about cleaning our hearts so that we are partnering with heaven for them, not against them. And this is a good transition too into just the power of praying together, because when part of praying together is we need to make sure we're approaching the Lord with clean hearts. And how can we hold someone in judgment and pray for them from the same mouth? You know, how can salt water and fresh water come from the same stream? It just doesn't work. We have to have clean hearts. And so that that process is so important to the kind of powerful breakthrough prayer, together prayer that Esther's talking about.
You know, it's so important too to know that when you're engaging and releasing mercy, you know, I think there's times when you have an offense and the hurt and the anger serves as fuel. You know, I joke sometimes you get a lot done when you're angry, right? But you feel like it's your pound of flesh, but you don't realize you're giving the enemy legal access. Yes. He's a legalist. You're giving him legal right to torment you.
Yes.
And when you're releasing mercy, it's not like God's going, well, she's over it, I'm over it. God is a just God. And that's when he starts to deal. And without giving too many details, we had a situation in our prayer group where one of the hubbies was dealing with some things at work. And when we prayed the mercy trial prayer and says, these are the crimes, and because of the mercy we've received, we release mercy to you, there was an about face in about 24 to 48 hours, like in a lasting, sustainable, like miraculous shift of heart in every single person that was doing the undermining and that kind of thing. I mean, it's a bona fide miracle. We got just a minute before break.
I prayed with a young lady once who, and we went through the trial process together, and she forgave her husband for unfaithfulness. By the time she got home that day, he was standing at the door in tears, hugging her, saying, thank you. Thank you for releasing me. It changed him. It changed the atmosphere. He didn't know what she had done, but he was changed by it because things happen in the spirit
realm.
Things
happen in the spirit realm when forgiveness is the powerful key to powerful prayer. We'll be back in a minute. He moved in power then, he moves in power now, he moves in power today. And there's something, you know, the book that I referenced, when Kevin and I did the show on healing, we referenced the F.F. Bosworth book, Christ the Healer. He said something brilliant in there. He said, you know, moving with God is like a checkers game. He says, God makes a move and then you make a move. God will never take your move and he'll never move out of turn. And that really is such a great description, because there are times when you're waiting on God, but he's waiting on you. And if you're harboring unforgiveness, there's no condemnation. When you read some of these offenses, they're so painful. But we're here today to help you release. So today you can walk free. And as Melissa said before the break, something happens in the supernatural realm. This is why Jesus talks so much about when you're not forgiving, the tormentor is unleashed against you and it only poisons your soul. And we've got to trust the justice of God to know if he's told me to release mercy, I'm going to do it. And he misses nothing. He doesn't just let things go. He deals with sin. He disciplines his children. And there is a day of account. But there's a day of account for you and me. Are we living with grudges and unforgiveness? So I want you, if you're able, to text me, what do you need to forgive? And I'm keeping everybody anonymous. What do you need to forgive? 877-933-2484. Now we're going to do our best to walk through some mercy trials with a couple of you, and then we're going to pray for some of you, as many as we can. But just for the sake of, you know, just because the power of praying in agreement is so powerful, we're going to kind of just model that if we can. So I'm going to read this text, Melissa, and then if she was in our living room together, how you would walk her through a mercy trial where you'd repeat after Melissa. And then we're just going to pray for you. And I want you to get a vision, friend, for what a healed you might look like, where you walk free and you don't think for a minute that God's letting go of all these offenses that he's dealing, but you're walking free. So this dear one says, I need to forgive parents for not knowing how to give me a safe and loving environment. I need to forgive a cousin. This is all the same person, for sexual abuse. I need to forgive high school friends for bullying me. And then I need to forgive myself for carrying all of that all of these years, and for the poor choices I've made as a result. But first of all, if you were in a room with us, we would weep with you and we would hug you. And I will just, if I could give you the picture, when I was walking through this stuff, I guttural sobbed and these women held me so tight, and I would do the same for you. But then Melissa, our lawyer, would walk you into the heavenly courts and walk you to freedom. So would you take it from there?
Sure. I would... First of all, give you a little yellow legal pad, and on the front it would say confidential and attorney-client privileged, okay? Because as lawyers, we know that everything is confidential and it's privileged, and that's just between you and Jesus. It is really you and the Lord's time together. And then I would say, you know, open up that notebook to the first page and write down all of the offenders and just write their names down, okay? And then I would say flip it open to the second page. And write, choose one of them, and let's write out all of the charges. Now, this listener has multiple defendants, and so normally we would do three separate trials, but for the sake of time, we're going to pool them together. And, well, we do need to do two separate ones. Okay, so I'll explain that in a minute. But so I would say this. Write down all of the charges, and we would just talk, and I would say, what about this charge? What about that charge? This sounds like maybe this one, because we want to get it accurate and we want to be as complete as possible. We talked about this before. You can haul people back into court if you've missed something, but you can never bring them back into court for the same charges, because that's committing double jeopardy. They cannot be tried a second time for the same crime twice. Okay. So I would lead you in a prayer, something like this. Loving Father and righteous judge, I summons my parents, my cousin, my high school friends. I charge you with the offenses of parents being unsafe and unloving and not giving me a safe and loving home. I charge you, cousin, with violating my sexuality, my dignity, and abusing me. I charge you, high school friends, with the bullying and the unfair treatment that you have committed against me. These are injustices. You are guilty. All of you defendants are guilty of these charges, and you're deserving of punishment. However, because Jesus chose to extend mercy to me for a debt that I could never repay, I choose to extend this same mercy to you for your offenses against me. Jesus, I ask that you not count my parents, my cousins, my high school friends' sins against them, because I am choosing to extend the same mercy that Jesus extended to me to their offenses and relinquish my claim on these injustices against me. In fact, I hereby break the power of condemnation off of you, my parents, my cousin, my high school friends, and I declare you acquitted, forgiven, and free. Jesus, I ask you to bless each of these defendants. I also hereby break every tie I've had with the accuser. Enemy, you no longer have power over me and no legal right to torment me. I will not be lured back in by you or commit double jeopardy against these individuals. I break off my relationship with you now against them for good. After we did that, I would lead you in one more prayer. And that would go something like this. Loving Father and righteous Judge, I put myself in the defendant's seat in the heavenly courts, and I charge myself with the offense of unforgiveness for all of these years. And maybe this listener would want to add any of the other poor decisions that they have done as a result of the pain of this trauma that they've experienced. And then I would say, although I am guilty of this sin of unforgiveness and of the any other sins you want to name, and I'm deserving of punishment, I release Jesus's mercy over myself, so my sin will not be counted against me. I hereby break off the power of the enemy to accuse me and condemn me for this sin. I declare myself acquitted, forgiven, and set free in Jesus' name. And there's so much power in that, because the enemy accuses us day and night before the throne. And this applying Jesus's mercy to pay for our own sins, our own the debts that are created by our own sins, it shuts the mouth of the accuser. The mirror translation of that verse in Romans 8:1 says, every bit of condemning evidence against us is canceled. Hmm. You know, and I've talked about this before, where in the earthly courts, we only get two plea options, guilty and not guilty. But in the heavenly courts, we get a third plea option. We can plead the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And then our guilt or innocence is irrelevant, because it shuts the mouth of the accuser against us and completely sets us free from the debts. And he cannot accuse us or condemn us anymore.
Somebody got to text me an amen. Esther, you just say it's live radio. It's totally okay. You can say yay, nay. But would you pray, if you feel comfortable, for this dear soul to just have a vision for what healing would look like, and that God would just restore what the enemy's stolen?
Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for dear sister who has opened up before you and before us this trauma that she suffered for so long. Well, we're just praying that today will be a day of her freedom, her total healing, her release. Yes. Lord, that she would choose mercy over justice, and she would experience your mercy in a powerful way.
Thank you, Lord.
In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Father, I pray to redeem every lost moment, every lost hour, every tear she's cried, God, every thought that she's worthless, that she's always a victim, that she's under her circumstances, and she is not. She is in your heart, God. She is a child of God. She belongs to you. And so, Lord, we just pray you would redeem everything the enemy has stolen, and she would start to see redemption, restitution, that she would start to see, God, you pour out your blessings, and she'd get freer and freer the longer she walks, God, in freedom, releasing mercy. Anytime the enemy tries to poke at it, she turns a deaf ear to him and releases more mercy. And as she walks in your mercy, she's going to know your abounding grace. And we just say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So powerful. You know, there have been a number of people here that have talked about that they're being held in contempt. Somebody's not forgiving them. And one text came in, said, you know, people say it only hurts the person who's not forgiving. She goes, that's not true. I'm really hurt that they're not forgiving me. And there's a number of parents that feel that way, where there's a family member holding them in contempt. What do they do? I suppose they continue to release mercy, right?
Well, the other person's unforgiveness is a sin against them. And so they actually have to bring that person to trial and release Jesus's mercy over the sin of unforgiveness towards them, because it does create a debt that has to be paid.
Mm. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Well, we just got a few minutes before we go to break. So a lot of people are saying, wow, this visual is so helpful. And a number of offenses. Need to forgive my husband who walks in self-reliance, worldly thinking and living, who does not love me like Christ loves the church, who's not walking in truth, but he lives for himself. Madison says, wow, that was so helpful. You know, let's just pray for a number of people who are feeling like their past is still dragging with them. If we could just have a little more prayer music, and then I'll pray. And if you, either of you feel led, we'll just pray as the Lord leads. But there's just quite a few people who are dragging with them just because they don't know what to do with that baggage of pain and hurt. Lord, we just pray for them now. God, I pray that this visual that Melissa painted, that these dear ones have a tool now, and we will include this in the show notes so that you can do this, but would go into the heavenly courts. They would see you not only as Abba and Father, but as a righteous judge, and that Jesus is the advocate and the intercessor. And we don't have a leg to stand on except the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the heavenly courts, that gives us right standing in those courts. Only Jesus, not because of our performance. And so, Father, as we stand in absolute humility and gratitude for what you did for us, we bring the people who've hurt us most into the heavenly court. And we do, as Melissa says, list the crimes. And these crimes are real and true and deserving of punishment. But Lord, help us to become people who release mercy again and again and again, that we can walk free. And scripture talks about that the devil could find no opening in Jesus. He could find nothing on Jesus, nothing in Jesus, because Jesus walked with a pure heart and did everything the Father told him. Help us to be those people. And I just get this picture as I'm praying of thousands of people with their heavy bags that are hurting their backs and making them tired, dropping them and walking free and crossing over to a new place of forgiveness and wholeness and healing. I beg you, friend, don't let another day pass. Get with the Lord, list the crimes, identify them, and then release mercy. The mercy that you've received is the mercy that you'll release. And the Lord Jesus will set you free, and the devil will slink away with his hopes thwarted. He will grind his teeth. He will run, and he'll look for a safe place to dwell, but he won't find it in you. God, heal us. Heal us, God. Heal us and forgive us for harboring unforgiveness and resentment and grudges as if we have a leg to stand on. Would you forgive us, God? We want you to take seriously the prayers that come out of our mouths, so we need to take seriously the commands that come from yours. We're going to forgive. We're going to release mercy, and we're going to walk in freedom so we can be powerful in prayer and that our lives can please you in Jesus' name.
For those listeners who just say, I've tried, I can't completely forgive from my heart, but the Bible says that I have to. I don't know what to do. I just encourage you to remember the mercy that Jesus extended over you when he forgave you of a debt that you could never, ever have repaid. And when you can't fully forgive from your heart, stop trying and apply Jesus' mercy to pay for that sin. And the Lord will give your soul the ability to fully forgive once that debt has been paid for, because the enemy's access to you will be cut off. And all of those painful memories and hurts, he will not be able to continue to torture you with those things. He will give you the ability to fully forgive from your heart, not because of your own efforts, but because of what he did for you.
Mm-hmm. I'm just remembering that verse, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, Lord. So I just pray that you will bring one or two others, stand with each and every one of these listeners struggling right now. And for them to know they're not alone. And together we will have victory over every battle and every struggle.
There's so much power in praying together.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you are bringing ready-made prayer partners to these listeners who desperately want to live victorious lives, but who have been burdened down with the pain and the just all the trauma that life has brought to them. Bring prayer partners, Lord, so they can pray together in power and start fighting for the offenders in their lives, not against them. Because it is hurting people that hurt people.
Yeah.
But it's also forgiven people that forgive. Mm. And it's freed people that free people.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about prayer strategies. Really great stuff ahead. More with these Marvel women in a moment. He's the same God, and he is on the move, and he's looking for faith on the earth, and we want him to find faith in your heart. I'm Susie Larson. All this week, we're focusing on breakthrough on this show. All month on Faith Radio, we've been talking about forgiveness, and today is the day of forgiveness. So I couldn't think of anybody better to have on the show than my Marvel women, these women who the Lord raised up to walk with me and pray with me all the way till I'm fully healed. And so we still are praying together every Wednesday morning. We've been talking about mercy trials, releasing mercy. And if you just tuned in, you're going to have to go back and catch the podcast once the live show is over because it'll be worth it. We'll also be on a live stream on YouTube and Facebook shortly after the show. We just need to refluff our hair, just saying. And then we'll get down to the studio and Melissa will give more detail about the practicals of mercy trials. But I want to switch gears with this last segment and talk about some of the nuts and bolts. You know, it's in 2000, I believe I said on this show, or 2020, I'm sorry, where I said, I feel impressed by the Lord to say it's time to form prayer networks. I kind of saw this power grid of these circles of prayer and then a line connected to another circle, then a line connected to another circle. I felt it so strongly. And I just said, even if you want to be social distance, get in a house, be 6-10 feet away, but start agreeing in prayer. I know that was a word of the Lord, but I didn't know how much it was till I met these women. I was a wild praying woman. But once we started to come together in agreement, mountains started to move, water started to part, things started to change. And Esther, you lead so many prayer initiatives, and you're very passionate about praying for marriage. And there was a time when the Lord downloaded a 4-point strategy on how to pray for marriages. And the reason I'm asking is because lots of these texts have come in about marriage. So why don't you take it?
Yes. So I am married to an amazing man of God, but we did go through a season where we were struggling. And one day, God, in my time alone with him, he showed me 4 things. Do you want a beautiful marriage? He said, I said, yes. He said, these are the 4 things you do. Number one, forgive daily. Mm. Forgive daily. So it was that goes right along with what Marissa's teaching. Number two, pray fervently about everything that concerns your husband's life. And that's what we're talking about when we say, after you forgive, you start fighting for that person. Mm.
So the second one is what again?
Pray fervently.
Forgive daily, pray fervently, okay?
Third thing is to listen humbly. Mm. Yeah, you don't just listen to their words, you listen to their life. See where their needs are and meet them, mm-hmm. Yeah, as much as you can. And then finally, love extravagantly.
Beautiful.
Yes, and I cannot tell you how those 4 things have changed my life and my life together with my husband.
Wow. And one of the things, you know, one of the ways when we do some prayer for healing and some real personal things in my family that you know, really nobody else has access to except for a small circle. They invited me in to pray because they were already regularly praying for their husbands. And Melissa, I just thought, I like this because I'm a strategic thinker. I don't like to waste time. You girls do not waste time. You don't chatter. You know, I mean, Esther, I still laugh when I was getting to know you and you're like, you agree with God, I agree with you, go. And I'm like, wait, what? She's like, get to it. So, but these women, so like Esther, let's say she starts, she'll pray for her dear husband, Stefan, and she just prays passionately for him. And then say Karna is next. So Karna agrees with Esther, prays for Stefan. And then Karna starts praying for her own husband, Jimmy. Then Melissa agrees with Karna about Jimmy and then prays for Austin. I pray for Austin and so on and so forth. You have just all these strategies for not wasting a lot of time. And talk about just practical things you guys have learned, not only about staying on task, because, you know, you don't gossip, you don't chatter. There's, you know, you really fear God and you're very purposeful and the impact that that's had.
Well, I can say that, first of all, you know, when we're chatting with girlfriends, I'm not saying that there's no value to that, but if we really want answers, we go to the only one who can bring answers. Okay. And when we're praying, we can't judge. The Lord doesn't let us judge. He doesn't let us gossip. He doesn't let us be a victim. We are really just allowing the Lord to use us and partnering with heaven to bring his will to earth. I used to think, you know, that prayer was something that the old ladies did in the basement of the church between their gossip sessions. Now what I understand is that the prayer of agreement and praying with others is so powerful. It is actually governmental. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the earth. It is literally bringing heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know that we pray in the Lord's Prayer. this is actually doing it in specific ways. It is powerful.
And you also said a man, you were saying during the break when we were talking about praying for marriages, that a husband, there's a lot of there are some husbands who are real hurt too, but there's quite a few wives who've been deeply hurt by their husbands. Mm-hmm. Melissa, you said during the break, they can't even fulfill their office without purposeful, passionate, consistent prayer.
Absolutely. You know, in Proverbs 31, it says that the wife brings her husband good things every day. Well, what we do, Karna and Esther and Susie and I and others, is we bring our husbands better gifts than we were joking because in Father's Day, you know, we could get them barbecue tools. We could get them a new tie. But what is really valuable to them are the things that we can partner with heaven to bring into their lives. Mm. They cannot fulfill their office of husband without our help, without us praying them into all that that office brings and requires.
And we've seen, by praying together, we've seen breakthroughs. We've seen answers to prayer. They're tangible. You can't dispute them because
so many.
We've prayed so specifically that when you see a specific answer, and sometimes it comes quickly, sometimes you contend, but God answers prayers. He hears our cry.
Yes. So I have to tell you, like after 7 years of praying together with others in 2016, just on my birthday, God told me, start asking for miracles, the impossibles. And that first year, I just together with others, 52 days, 52 days based on Nehemiah building the wall for 52 days. That's where it came from, because that was a miracle work. And so I began to ask and together with my prayer sisters for Easter miracle 2016, that's when it all began. And the miracle that we were asking for my family was that God would reconcile this relationship with this brother-in-law, who cut off his relationship with everyone for over 5 years, all relationship. And we were just praying, would you reconcile this relationship? On 52nd day, he showed up with his wife for the first time in over 5 years.
Wow.
That's only the beginning. In 2017, his wife that I met for the first time surrendered her life to Christ and got baptized in front of 1,000 people, testifying to God's, just God's amazing work in our life.
Wow.
Yeah, and so that's just only the beginning. Just one after another, we've seen salvation of family members, provision in a miraculous way, healing of marriages.
You had a family member who was on their deathbed from COVID, looking like they weren't going to make it.
Oh, yeah. That was this year.
Yeah.
And my uncle, whom everyone beginning with the doctor said he is dead, there's nothing more we can do. And just was ready to take him off life support 3 days before Easter. We were just meeting. We have a cousin's prayer group that meets for 45 minutes once a month to pray together for every relative in our family. And
imagine
especially
that.
For 35 next gen, the children. Mm. And we met during that time. It was an emergency. We met every week for 15 minutes to pray for my uncle. 3 days before Easter, he came alive. Yes.
Just amazing. You need to think about, for me, I wanted to pay it forward because of what you've done and how you've invested in my journey. I called a friend whose daughter battles some pretty significant mental health issues. And I said, I'm walking with you and we're going to pray every week until we see breakthrough. And right away, we start to see breakthrough. And it is two steps forward, three steps back. But she's like, I'm not carrying this alone anymore. Yeah. And so, friends, that's the challenge I want so much for you to think about. Even if you grab one person. In fact, you have a testimony here.
Yes, I have a testimony from an amazing missionary friend in Kenya. Her name is Heather, and this is what she said after praying together for 40 days with other sisters. Prayer with others has truly changed my life. Before I began praying with other women, I felt as if my prayer life has reached a plateau, a glass ceiling of sorts. Praying alone, while important in my relationship with God, allowed me to remain closed and safe. Prayer with others was risky, scary, vulnerable, and messy. Yet once I began praying with others, I experienced a level of hope and freedom that has seemed out of reach until then. Crying out to God with others and for others challenged me in ways I never imagined. I feel set free, and I am free. So the background story to her is that she prayed alone for a family breakthrough for over 7 years and no result. Prayed together with three other women for 40 days. On the 40th day, she received her breakthrough.
Amen.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's something that, that I want you to hear today is to, when you start coming together and you're praying God's word and you're agreeing with God for these situations where you're saying no to the enemy because you're saying yes to God, you can cultivate a lifestyle and a heart of expectancy, right? Melissa, we just have a minute left, but you know, the expectancy level goes way through the roof when you're shouldering each other's burdens, don't you think?
Absolutely. And one of the things that the biggest benefits that I had no idea was going to happen in addition to the answered prayers is that in the process, the Lord was lifting the burden off of me and he was taking it back himself. And so, you know, we often feel the burden of those things that need that, you know, if we have a prodigal child, we feel that weight. But when we pray with others, we're actually transferring jurisdiction of that matter back to the Lord. The Lord showed me, you know, we're called to be faithful to pray, but he is the one that's called to be responsible. So when we pray that out, he lifts the burden off of us. And he takes responsibility for the outcome.
Wow. Pray you found some encouragement here today. And I asked you to say, count me in if you wanted to not be walking under your circumstances anymore. I'm charging you in the name of Jesus. Find at least one prayer partner and start praying weekly and watch the mountains move. Hope you found encouragement here. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player and never miss a show.